and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. This is episode 102. It's the late mail edition for round 9. Plenty going on. As always, we've got Wacko's Whispers to go through, and you've got plenty of questions from Twitter for me to sort through. So let's dive straight into it. First off, starting with Wacko's Whispers.
You've got mail, baby, yeah.
First game will, of course, be the Rabbitohs and the Storm. Unfortunately, the Rabbitohs are a little bit depleted. They're going to have a reshuffled lineup with Wayne Bennett confirming on Wednesday that Dean Hawkins will start at halfback on the right edge, with Cody Walker dropping back to play fullback, and Alex Johnston will shift back to his preferred left wing position. Gagai will move out to the right wing, with Stephen Masters set to play right centre. Tevita Totola is confirmed to return after missing last week's game due to concussion. And Jacob Hurst could also be in some doubt after copping a knock at training. This may see Jed Cartwright come onto the bench, with him also Cartwright recovering from back surgery in preseason. There's also a chance that he could replace Braden Burns in the second half, with Burns not expected to play the full game after only returning last week from New South Wales Cup from his knee injury, and he only made it 350-odd minutes. Troy Dargan and Tane Milne were both omitted from the 19-man squad on Wednesday night, with Cartwright and Hame Sele remaining in the 19. Wacko also expects Benji Marshall to be the one who takes the goal-kicking duties, with Dean Hawkins as his backup. On the Storm side, they will be without Tom Eisenhuth due to a groin injury, with Chris Lewis set to come onto the bench to provide some utility value should Storm suffer an injury to the outside backs. Harry Grant suffered multiple injuries last week after copping a knock to his sternum and then a dislocated finger in his right hand, but he will play. George Jennings and Nelson Osofa-Solomona both missed last week's game due to concussion, but they returned to training early in the week and they will return this week, with Jennings on the right wing and Big Nelson off the bench. Cam Munster will retain goal-kicking duties despite having a shocking night with the kicking boots last week. Now, Eisenhuth and Riley Jacks both dropped out of the 19-man squad 24 hours before kickoff, and Dean Eremia and Aaron Penne remain in the 19. And just as a quick update, we apparently do have confirmation that Jacob Hurst has been ruled out and Jed Cartwright has come onto the bench. For the Panthers and the Sharks, the Panthers did have Kurt Keppel in doubt after he suffered a rib injury last week, didn't return after halftime. He had to pass the final fitness test at the captain's round to prove his fitness. Now, there's word that apparently he's been fine, so he should be good to go. But if for whatever reason he's ruled out in the final team list, we have Liam Martin to come in to start on the right edge, and Scott Sorensen will come onto the bench. James Fisher-Harris could be in some doubt due to a hamstring injury, but hopefully he can also prove his fitness at the captain's run to play. Jermaine Hopgood is on standby, should he be ruled out. The Sharks have Will Kennedy in some doubt due to injury. If ruled out, Matt Moylan could return from his quad injury at fullback. Wade Graham was forced to leave the field late in the game due to a head knock, and with his recent concussion history, there are some concerns, obviously, but he did pass his game day HIA, and he's trained with the squad all week, and he should be expected to play. Jesse Raymond missed the Storm game due to a glute injury, but he did train with the squad during the week and during the main field session this week, and he is expected to return at right centre, with Will Chambers shifting to left centre. Josh Dugan remains out of the 17 and could be 18th man again like last week, but I saw something saying that he's probably going to run out for Newtown this week. For the Eels and the Roosters, so the Eels are expecting to be without Nathan Brown due to his hip flexor injury, which forced him from the field on the weekend. If he does play, Wacko says he should be charged with a grade 1 carry-on, but in all likelihood he's expected to be ruled out. This will see Sean Lane start at lock, and either with Remu Grigg or Keegan Hipgrave coming onto the bench. Oregon Kafusi could once again start at prop, with Junior Paulos dropping to the bench like last week. There is some chat that Paulo's managing an injury, which is why his minutes have dipped. For the Roosters, their preparation for the game obviously thrown into chaos on Thursday morning due to the latest COVID breach in Sydney. All the staff and the whole squad were required to undergo COVID tests. And apparently this did put some question marks over their captain's run, but there are some tweets out there saying that it still went ahead. But it's expected either way that Teddy will be back from his concussion break. He trained with the squad on Wednesday and is expected to play. Sam Walker is also in doubt due to a shoulder injury, and he'll need to prove his fitness to play. His backup, however, Lachlan Lamb, also needs to pass his own fitness test to play after he's recovered from his own knee injury. If Walker's ruled out, Lamb should play in the halves. If both Lamb and Walker are ruled out, then we may see Joseph Suaalii finally make his extremely hyped NRL debut at right centre, and Joey Manu would move into the halves to play next to Drew Hutchinson. For the Raiders and the Knights, the Raiders do have Sebastian Chris in some doubt due to the ankle injury he suffered on the weekend. He was able to play at the game and train with the squad during the week, and at this stage he's expected to continue at left centre, filling in for the injured captain Jared Croker. Josh Papali'i was rested last week due to managing an injury, which he has been getting pain management to play with in order to play over the opening rounds. That has led to a drop in form, but he returned to training this week and is expected to play. George Williams was a late scratching last week due to a hamstring injury during the warm-up, which ruled him out, and at this stage he's expected to be ruled out again, with Sam Williams set to come into the side after Sam Williams himself only just returned to the New South Wales Cup last week due to a rib injury that kept him out of play for a few weeks as well. Jordan Rapana should continue with the goal-kicking duties with both Croker and George Williams out. On the Knights side, they do have Connor Watson in a bit of doubt after he failed to train this week due to a heavy knock that he copped during the game. That's the one that saw Tupanua suspended. He needs to pass his own fitness test that the captains run the play. If he's ruled out, Suaso Su will start at lock, and Lockie Fitzgibbon will... who returned from his own shoulder injury in New South Wales Cup last week, playing the full 80 minutes in that game. Lockie Fitz expected to come onto the bench, but if Watson is fit, Fitzgibbon could replace Pasami Salo on the bench. And Jaden Brayley is expected to play despite a hand injury. Heimel Hunt returns on the right wing after recovering from his hamstring injury after training with the squad all week. Next game is the Tigers and the Titans. The Tigers head into the clash coming off a win. They have no injury concerns with the 17 players named, and they're expecting to be 1-17 with no late changes. On the Titans side, they are expecting to be without Ash Taylor after he was ruled out on Wednesday due to a hip injury. This will see Tana Boyd come to the halves to partner Jamal Fogarty. AJ Brimson, ankle, Philip Sammy, ankle, and Jared Wallace, shoulder, are all in some doubt after copping knocks last week, with Jaden Campbell and Sam McIntyre in standby should any of them be ruled out. New signing Asan Masters could also make his way into the 17 by replacing Bo Firma at centre, with Firma dropping to the bench and Aaron Clark would drop to the 18th man spot. For the Cowboys and the Cowboys expect to be 1-17 with no late changes expected. Jarvid Bowden comes into play his first game in the NRL since 2019 after he suffered a shoulder injury in the preseason, after he also had impressed and gained an NRL contract. He will line up at left centre, replacing the injured Justin O'Neill, while Shane Wright has also passed the required concussion protocols and is expecting to play. The Broncos squad was rested by coach Kevy Walters at training this week, with the coach trying to get a reaction from the squad on the field this weekend. The Broncos don't have any players in doubt, with the only potential change being Dale Copley coming in at right centre, replacing Jesse Arthurs, with no other late changes expected. For the Seagulls and the Warriors, the Seagulls do have Morgan Harper in some doubt due to a knee injury. If he's ruled out, Moses Sully, who has fully recovered from his fractured back after returning to full training last week, he's coming back in at right centre, and Tavita Funa will come onto the bench to provide options should an outside back go down injured during the game. No other late changes expected. Ruben Garrick is expected to go back to goal-kicking after a copped a knock to the leg during the game on the weekend, and that's why we saw DCE taking up those duties during the game. For the Warriors, they could have a couple of changes with Chanel Harris-Tavita and Ewan Aitken both firming to return from foot injuries this weekend. They both have to pass final fitness tests in order to play. If fit, Aitken will replace Edward Cossey, with Rocco Berry switching to the wing with Aitken at centre. Harris-Tavita would place the rookie Reese Walsh in the halves. Jazz Tavan could also start at lock, which will shift Tohu Harris out to right edge to start the game, with Talisa Katoa, who has missed the last few weeks due to a toe injury, dropping back to the bench. Final game of the round, the Dragons and the Bulldogs. The Dragons winger Cody Ramsey is expecting to be ruled out due to a rib injury he suffered on the weekend. Matt Fiergai, so this is not Max, this is Matt. Fiergai, who only returned last weekend from a knee injury, which also kept him out from his own game for the last few weeks, he will come onto the wing to join his brother Max in the NRL this week. Junior Amone is a 5/8 by trade, but the Dragons are open to the idea of using him at centre at NRL level, with the amount of outside backs this week that are injured for the Dragons. This could see Tyrrell Fuimaono moving back to lock and Josh Maguire dropping to the bench, with Poasa Faamasili dropping out of 17 altogether. Billy Burns, Wacker expects to start on the right edge with Josh Kerr dropping back to the bench after Kerr again had a poor game last weekend. On the Bulldogs side, they have Dylan Napa in doubt due to a shoulder injury and he's expecting to be ruled out. This will see Ava Siumanu-Fangai add a prop with either Joe Stimson or Ofahiki Ogden coming onto the bench. Lachlan Lewis had an outstanding game in New South Wales Cup last weekend on return from his concussion issues and he could replace Jack Avarillo in the halves. DWZ returns to fullback with Nick Meaney moving back to the left wing. And that is Wacker's Whispers for another week.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
All right, thanks as always for submitting your questions. Starting off with a couple of easy ones. Firstly, actually this is not that easy. First question comes in from Wal G at Jessicus. He's asking if we should bench Cadwell and play Saab on a dry brookie afternoon. This one's really tough. So obviously the concerns about Cadwell is his injury. And I think there's some chat that like all rib injuries, it's a pain management issue. If he cops a knock on the wrong way, there's a chance that he will not be able to play again. If it aggravates the injury, he'll potentially only play half a game like he did last week. Obviously, you can potentially get through the game like we saw with Takeaho, but he did miss a week first, so he had more time for that rib to heal before coming back. So the risk for Capewell is obviously he can get some attacking stats, but he may not play 80. Most likely, he won't play 80 anyway, but he could play even less than normal. On the flip side, you got Saab with dry brookie afternoon, you know, Tommy Turbo's 100th game, most likely some attacking stats on offer, but it's Jason Saab who could drop 5 points in base, potentially. Honestly, if you're asking me, I would just stick with Capewell, but that's because I have very little faith in Saab. If you recall the episode this week, I mean, Bear is considering playing Saab himself. It's just a gut call. I think if you want to go for the upside, then go for Saab. If you're going to play it safe because of injury, go with Saab. If you'd rather, you know, try to guarantee yourself 30, 40 points at the worst, then I would go Capewell. Next question comes from Bing at Bing Numbers. Hi Wilfred, I'm mainly a head-to-head player. Should I consider trading in Tupou ahead of Best or Kelly this week? Cheers. If you're playing head-to-head, look, absolutely. I think Daniel Tupou is a great option. They should look to him a lot more with no BMOs on the other end. And, you know, Sam Walker was really starting to form a bit of a combination when he, you know, swung around to the left side as well. So I like Tupou. He's got great base and he's, I think, one of the best wingers in the game at the moment. So, yeah, no issues with that. Best, really, his appeal is also because of, you know, the Knights playing well and we haven't seen that quite yet. And also the round 13 coverage. So no issues with that. With Kelly, I'd definitely give him a bit of a look-see, basically see with no Corey Thompson if that impacts him, if they use him differently. And he's obviously dropped a lot of cash, so he's quite affordable. I wouldn't rush to bring Kelly in this week. Next question is from Liam O'Donnell at Liam O'Donnell 1. Grant versus Dewey to trade in this week. This one's really tough for me because I think with Dewey, like, I understand the appeal. He's had, you know, four rounds roughly where he's done pretty well. But I think it's kind of interesting to note that he did drop a 20 in there whilst goal kicking because the Tigers were bad. And we know the Tigers aren't a great team. And there's a chance that he could struggle any time and drop a stinker. Probably the answer to this is whether or not, you know, if you're going Grant versus Dewey, Grant's got the highest ceiling to me. He's also likely to average higher compared to the rest of the other hooking options right now. You know, your Reed Marnies, your Jaden Brayleys, Damian Cook, whoever you've got there. I see Grant potentially breaking off from them. Now, the thing with Dewey is, you know, how does he compare to your other 5/8 options? So I don't know who you've got there, whether you've got, you know, a Munster or a Cody Walker or a Jerome Luai already, and Dewey's going to be a backup, or is Dewey going to be your main 5/8 replacing like a Connor Watson or something? You know, that might change your thinking. If Dewey's going to be your main 5/8, I would definitely go with Grant. If Dewey's going to be your backup 5/8 as a bit of a pod, look, I don't mind it, but I see Grant being the better option, basically. So that's what I'd lean. Next question comes in from Nick Nissen at Nicky Niss. And he's thrown in Anton in here as well. So do you lads think Capewell plays Origin? Thinking around 13 might be a good excuse to move him on. Queensland Centre stocks aren't the greatest, and given his gun performance last year, he probably does. Would love to hear your Origin team predictions for both states. Nick, I hope you haven't listened to our episode this week. Otherwise, you've obviously missed our predicted Origin teams. But we do have Capewell lining up at right centre there. So I do think, and Anton agrees, he definitely plays Origin. Anton's holding for one more week despite the rib injury. Big chance of a good score against the Sharks team at home. Even with reduced minutes, and saying that, wouldn't advise anyone against selling if bringing in a gun. Very similar sentiments from myself there. So good work, Anton. For me, Nick, if I had another $6,000 in the bank, I would be going Capewell to best with my second trade this week. But I can't do that in one go. So I'm holding. But like I said, if you're moving him to a gun, I don't mind that at all. Definitely, you can't see him covering round 13. That's for sure. So for me, he's a move on. Now, linked to this question, I guess, is one that's come from Jacob at Mr. Jacob Shepherd, one of our champs. It says, if he stays fit, is Capewell a possible hold for the whole year? Once you upgrade to a gun 17, he looks like the perfect fourth or fifth choice at centre wing. Solid base and always looks like crashing over the line, playing outside the best halves in the comp. Obviously, caveat here is that Jacob is a mad Panthers fan. So, I don't disagree with that. I'd probably list him more as a fifth, sixth centre wing, where, you know, he can mix him in. If you've got an injury, he's your first drop. If he's got the right matchup, and let's say someone else is out injured, then you can throw him in. I wouldn't like to necessarily rely on him all season, especially during the Origin period. If he's playing Origin, and I expect the Panthers to be going well, Capewell is going to get rested. When you've got Kikau, who won't play Origin, you got a really capable replacement in Martin. If anything, I see him between rounds 14 to 17, 18 almost, like his likely minutes will be closer to 50, 60 each week rather than the 65, 70, 80 that we'd love to see from Capewell. Having said that, if you have the depth at centre wing, you can hold him through that period and only roll him out in case of emergency. Honestly, I don't mind holding him. I definitely think he's a very viable option to keep in your centre wing for the whole season. The dual position is super handy. Yeah, that's how I'd see it. So it's very team dependent. Like I said, if you've got the depth, hold him. If you don't and you need his cash and you'd like to get someone else to cover round 13 or round 17 later, then totally fine with upgrading him to someone else there. Next question comes in from Robbie M. That's Robbie M underscore. He's got Welsh to TPJ and Capewell to best. Are these good trades or should I be saving trades instead? I have no real issues I need to solve in my side, so this would be purely for buy planning. I don't mind trading out Welsh. I think he needs to go sometime before round 13, given he's going to play Origin. Won't help you with that coverage either. I love Pangai, as you guys know. I think he's a decent shout. As for whether you'd go Welsh to Pangai, if you could find someone else, I would go someone else and keep Welsh around for a bit longer and then get rid of him right before round 13. He's playing really well. I just think with Pangai, you've got the upside there. He'll most likely, there's this very slim chance that he plays Origin. So to me, I think Pangai will be one of the guys I'd hate to not have in round 13 because of his ceiling. So I definitely would get Pangai in. If Welsh is your only guy to do it, then that's fine. And I've shared my sentiments on Capewell the best. I have no issues with that at all. Next question comes from Luke at Dookie Dukester. I'm looking at Barnett to Curran. Curran looks the goods with attacking stats. If he jags one or two, could score similar to Barney, plus price rises and falls. Do you see any merit or am I missing something? Look, I don't hate it. I definitely prefer to hold Barnett because of round 13 coverage. I think Barnett's going to get some attacking stats coming up soon if you look at the night's draw. There is obviously a bit of uncertainty over his minutes moving forward and other things like that. But honestly, Curran looks like a really, really good prospect for, not just cash, but he could be great round 17 coverage. He could end up being like if he holds 80 minutes for the whole season, keeps up the current work rate, he's a perfect, 18th, 19th, 20th man, your fourth or fifth, second row forward as a reserve. I think, he could be a potential borderline keeper at a budget price at the moment. So again, I think get Curran in, but preferably not at Barnett's expense, especially if you are playing overall. I'd love to hold Barnett till 13. But if he's your only option and you don't trust Barnett's minutes, that's one of your concerns about him, then, I'm not going to object to you making that trade, that's for sure. So next question is from Jaya Pritchard at Fat Icarus. He asks, is it worth holding a fringe player like Joe Offit and Gowie for the extra points and play in round 13? Or do you dump him now and upgrade him to a keeper for the run home? So this is a tough one, obviously. The closer you get to round 13, the more likely, you know, if you're upgrading them, the less rounds that they have to basically make up the points that you lose out from having Joe O for round 13. So, you know, to put it into an example, let's say you can turn Joe O into like a Tohu Harris or Angus Crichton this round. So round 9, so then he'll play round 9, 10, 11, 12. So that's 4 weeks. Or you get 5 weeks of Joe O where Joe O maybe doesn't make your 17 every week, but he'll definitely be there for round 13. So to me, let's say Joe O, he scores 50 to 55. I'm trying to be generous there, but call it 50 in round 13. So for you to make this trade, and assuming Joe O's not in your 17 every week, you need to make sure that whoever you bring in starts every week in your 17 and is an upgrade, basically. He will give you the equivalent of an extra, you know, 12 and a half, you know what I mean, 50 points across the next 4 weeks to justify losing out on Joe O's points for that, you know, round 13 buy coverage. If he doesn't, then I would probably stick Fat, hold him, be patient, cash in other guys that, you know, like you've got a Ryan James, I'd ditch him first. Even like a Stefano, I think I would ditch him first as well, because I think Joe O would score more than Stefano in round 13. And yeah, so that's kind of how I'd look at it. If you can hold him, that's the ideal. And, you know, you probably have other options to trade out in between. But if he's literally your only issue and your only way to get a gun keeper that's like, you know, someone that you can't go without that you think you really need to have, like a David Fifita, those types, then Joe O is fine, you know, totally fine to cull him, basically. Next question is from Stephen Rostevsky at Stephen underscore Risto. Not playing Gagai this week and planning on selling him before round 13, considering South's run. Do I trade him to Sydney this week or wait and save a trade? So two things. One, I think Gagai's fine. I'm trading him out myself. He's becoming pain hearts for me this week. So totally fine, because he's not going to cover round 13. There's every chance he doesn't hit his break even. Playing right wing this week, he's going to drop cash, etc., etc. The problem is I don't love going early on Zach Sinney if you can avoid it, because of the uncertainty. I'm not expecting him to drop out of the team, but he could. And if you've downgraded him a week early, that's the risk you run. You know, he's not going to make you any cash at all. And, you know, especially in the situation where Tommy Talau is missing because of suspension, not injury. And Moses Mbai, who was playing off the bench last week, is playing center. If Talau comes back and Mbai moves back to the bench, then that's fine. Sinney probably keeps his spot. If, however, Talau comes back and he ends up taking Sinney's wing spot, then that's where you're in trouble, basically. So that's the issue there. And that's why I don't particularly like going early on him. I mean, it can be a calculated risk if you really want to take that, but let's say you've got enough already, whether you've got, say, Suwali or Burbo or, you know, a straight-out enough like Jared Anderson. If you've already got someone like that in your center wing, and if you've got an injury like Fusatua and you haven't been able to cut bait with him or whatever, you know, if you then take in Sinney and then all of a sudden he's dropped for his third game and you're stuck with the bottom dollar enough, that's the concern I have, I guess, basically. So, you know, in some teams it might be fine. If you haven't enoughed out yet, that's probably a viable risk to take. But, yeah, I think it's just a balance thing, basically. Hope that helps. Next question comes from Tiger05 at LikeATiger05. I've held Paps and scored 1472 last week. Pretty sure he's back next week, so I think I'm holding. In this case, would you trade Ryan James to Pangai or Clemmer or Staines to Best or Tupou? Can only do one of these trades unless I sell Paps. Thoughts? Firstly, a huge score. Amazing. So well done there. And to me, I think, you know, I'm of the camp where I think Staines is just fine to sit there. As long as he's not making your 17, you've got the luxury to bench him and ride him out till round 13. I'm definitely going to recommend trading out James to, you know, I'd pick Pangai, but if you can't afford it, Clemmer's not a bad option at the price. And that's kind of where I'd go, basically. And, you know, maybe look at Best next week or Tupou next week if you've got, depending on who else you want to sell. That's kind of how I would look at it. Next question comes from George Thomas at Golf Tango Mike. Hi, Wilfred. Got to sell BMOS and can't decide on Turbo, Sivo or Ramos. Playing for overall, so need to plan for the buy round. Please help. I guess if you're talking about turbo, it probably means you don't have a second gun 5/8. If your plan doesn't involve turning that second gun 5/8 into Pappenhausen next week or something like that, then I have no issues just going down to turbo. Obviously, you know, you're counting on that injury being managed. I think you missed a bit boat for Sivo, honestly. I think he's a bit too pricey, and he's obviously come off back-to-back great scores, but it just seems like, yeah, he's way too expensive from where he was. Unless you expect those scores to just continue, which I don't think they will. It's just not sustainable. Sivo's got an extended history of not being able to sustain those scores. So I think, yeah, missed the boat there. Ramos, I think the difficulty with it being round 9 is, sure, he's got a negative break even. He'll probably go great for the next 2 weeks, but then, you know, it's, what, round 11? And let's say he hasn't gone that well and he's got like 150 break even in round 11. Do you then let him bleed all the cash and come back to round 13, have him cover the buy, and then potentially end up cheaper than what you paid for him now? Or do you go for the keeper like a turbo and then maybe look at getting someone else, you know, the next Ramos, if that makes sense? Someone else who's probably gone large in round 11 and 12 and will have a big score for the next few rounds that you can kind of cash in that way. That's kind of how I'd look at it. Unless you've got trades to burn, in which case you can go Ramos, and then you can downgrade Ramos from his peak price to, you know, whoever's going to be the next Ramos, if that makes sense. Hopefully that helps. But yeah, you know, if you're asking a vacuum, I think just go BMOS to turbo, get those premium points. Next question comes in from We the Prout Up the Broncos at Libson Bums. He's one of our former Swish Supercoach Star winners. So he asks, which do you think is the better option, Best or Ramos Smith at centre wing? Both play the bye. Ramos Smith with the very low break-even, Best a more consistent scorer. Yeah, look, to me, like I said, I think Best. Unless you think Ramos is going to go big in the next couple of weeks and still maintain the price and keep going up. But for me, I think Best can potentially be a season-long keeper at centre wing, not only just coming around 13, but the Knights have a great draw to finish the season. So that's how I look at it. Next question from NRL SC Sponge at Ben Numbers. Paulo to Papali'i and Thompson to Best leaves me $230,000 to upgrade Watson to Grant or Fui Maono to Matto next week and downgrade Saab Simo to Sini or Fear Guy. Look, I think that sounds really good. Corey Thompson, obviously, you know, big loss for you. You took the risk. Unfortunately, it didn't pay off because of injury. And I think you got on early, so you've done well anyway. And like I said, I'm a big Best believer for this week, if not next week onwards. Papali'i, look, if you got the bank, why not? I've heard that Paulo, you know, has had an injury and he might be able to play through it, or he might, you know, better times might be on the horizon, but I guess it's hard to argue with what Papali'i is doing. Personally, I think it's a little too much money, but if you're making that trade and you still got 230 in your bank, I think, yeah, obviously you're going to still have strong upgrades next week. So I don't mind that. You know, potentially does Grant score more points than Papali'i this week? I don't know. Maybe he does. So you could have the option of going Watson to Grant this week rather than the other way around. So that's the only thing I'll throw in there. But yeah, look, I can't fault anyone who wants to pay up for Papali'i. To me, it's a lot of money, and I just think he'll come down soon enough. But you know, there is – I've been saying that for a few weeks now, so who knows. It could be the Teddy of 2020, I guess you could say. Next question comes in from Joshua Duff at Joshua Duff 15. Trying to decide my final reserves. I'm locking in Teddy. Smart. And now need to narrow down Watson, Curran, Sam, Walker, Schuster, and Capel down to 3. Any thoughts? So I guess I've got pretty similar decisions here, actually, because I've got all 5 of those guys as well as potential reserve options. I think I'll happily lock in Schuster. I think if people are expecting Turbo to go well, Schuster's probably going to get amongst the attacking stats there. So that's 2 down. Then, I mean, there's a potential here that Watson and Sam Walker end up ruled out for whatever reason. And they're both in doubt, so you wonder if their output's going to be 100%. So, you know, to me, I kind of think you could potentially play Capel as one of your starters because he plays early in the round. And then you'd end up having to decide, you know, your final reserve from Watson, Curran, and Sam Walker. If Walker plays, I think you've got to go him given his ceiling. But, you know, if he's ruled out or Watson's ruled out, I think Curran's not a bad backup. So, yeah, look, that could be one way you deal with it. If you are happy to kind of roll the dice and hope that at least one of Watson and Sam Walker plays, then I would maybe go Curran plus one of whoever Sam Walker or Watson plays, and then sit Capewell just because of the injury risk there. I think that's how I'd play that scenario. Hopefully that makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, let me know. And I think the last question for today we've got from at Jackbread. Condon for which second row forward? He doesn't have any duels. He already has Curran. Replacement doesn't need to be in the starting 17, thinking CHN. I mean, ideally, I think you'd want to upgrade if you can. If you can go up to, you know, a premium keeper. If you've really got Angus and all of those types of guys, then that's fine. Then CHN, I think, is, you know, not a bad shout. If you can be on your fringe of the 17 and you're happy to roll the dice knowing that he could end up a flop because he doesn't play 80 minutes in a couple of weeks' time or whatever it might be, then, yeah, I don't have an issue with that. I'm personally still wrestling with whether I do Ryan James to CHN. You know, I said on Tuesday's podcast that I really think CHN could be, you know, a really good Supercoach option. We saw it at Bulldogs, and I expect with better halves, better hookers, basically, at the Raiders, I think CHN could be even better. Just the uncertainty, honestly, of that back row, and even just the forward rotation, the minutes, things like that. I mean, if you can guarantee him playing 80 minutes every week, I'd take him in a heartbeat. It's just the question marks there. I don't think it's a bad bet, obviously. If you need to move someone on like Condon, who's maxed out, you need to get downgrade, free up them coin, and you know, you have the luxury of potentially trading CHN out later if it ends up flopping. You know, I feel like I'm slowly talking myself into taking that punt. Like I said, I haven't saved any trades yet, so that's the only problem where I'm thinking, you know, it might be a good opportunity to save a trade and not leave myself, you know, floundering if I have to suddenly get rid of CHN because he's all of a sudden getting benched again. So, yeah, but my gut is saying get him in. So I'm torn. For you, like I said, if he doesn't need to be in your 17, if you got some spare trades, I don't have an issue at all with it. Hopefully that helps. All right, so thanks again for your questions. Obviously, it's great for us to be able to talk through things. Hopefully I've helped. If not, at CatfishSC, hit me up on Twitter and I'll try to help out some more. And yeah, just to, I guess, final word, I think with this week, you got to be really careful. Given the wackos whispers or the potential late outs, you know, I've left myself kind of setting up my team, I guess, in a way where I want to give myself the option of moving the reserve. I mean, Sam Walker, I'll play if he's fit, basically. If he's starting, it's hard to argue that you take him out because he's got the goal kicking, I think, at the moment. And, you know, he's just going to be so integral to that team in terms of steering him around and obviously getting attacking stats the way he's been racking them up recently. So to me, yeah, I think the ceiling's too high at the moment to be able to sit him, even though he's got a really low base. That is slightly helped with the goal kicking at the moment. So, you know, if he's fit and he's in, I'm playing him. The problem is obviously, you know, he plays in the third game of the round. If he's ruled out, I want to have some backups afterwards. So for me, my reserves, I've got, you know, Watson, Curran, Sam Walker, Josh Schuster, and right now, like, my Kurt Capewell is kind of my fifth centre wing option. Although for me, I'd have to play Capewell, basically. So I've locked in Schuster. That's not a question there. And I'm going to lock in Curran. And then I've got to make a decision, basically, on Sam Walker, Watson, and basically it's Kurt Capewell. So to me, if I just go ahead and lock in Curran and Schuster, and then I've got to lock in Sam Walker and Watson, then I leave myself in a situation where if both of them pull out, I'm screwed. Basically, I've got no backups afterwards. It would leave me having to try play Stefano, and I don't really want to do that. The alternative for me is I could play Capewell and start him, and that means then, you know, I've got backup there. Basically, it means I can have the luxury of sitting Watson or sitting Sam Walker if either of them are out. And if they're both out, then what I'll do is I'll trade in CHN, basically. Now, so how this works is obviously I've got the reserve on Sam Walker now. If Walker's ruled out, final team list, and then I'll pivot over to Watson as my final reserve. And if he's ruled out then, Would make the trade Ryan James to CHN. It's the same game that Watson's playing, so that makes it very easy. I've got my fullback. I won't leave myself short, basically. It's just, yeah, like I said, if I don't play Capewell early on, then I won't be able to do this kind of plan. So that's, I think, a way maybe to look at your team and plan it out and see if it works, so you can have that contingency plan in case these guys are pulling out of the final team list, basically. My trade's pretty simple. I'm getting rid of Dane Gagai. He served me well. I think I'm pretty happy with how he's gone overall in the end. And, you know, I really wanted to get him in to hedge against not having Cody Walker, pretty much. And, you know, I always knew that the Bunnies were going to come up against this tough couple of rounds, starting with this Storm game. And so I ended up, yeah, sticking it out. I had him for 5 rounds, and he's averaged 67 for me during that time, and he's made a little bit of coin as well. I think about 50 grand from when I first jumped on, so happy to cut bait with him. I'm turning him into Payne Haas through Jules. It also helps me get Kurt Capewell down to center wing. And yeah, finally a second front row forward. This means I don't have to play Ryan James, so it's a huge upgrade for me after having to start Pangai and Ryan James as my starting front row forwards last week. That really hurt. And like I said, either saving the second trade, or I'm still very tempted to go Ryan James to CHN, but I'll sit on that for the time being and see how the first game or two go, and maybe I'll make my final decision. But yeah, that's me for this week. Hopefully you've been able to figure out what you guys were planning to do for this week. It's, yeah, every week's a critical trading week, and you know, how important are those captaincy options, right? Literally, you know, 100-point swings if you get it wrong. And we're seeing people catch up, you know, 200-300 points in 1 week. So don't give up, basically, is where I'm going with that in terms of overall. Even if you're 500-600 points back, 2 good weeks and you could be up there again. So don't stress. All right, good luck, everyone. May your captaincy picks pay off and your trade-ins score highly. And I'll catch you again next week. All right, have a good one.